Welcome to Feed Your Faith. I'm your host, Courtney Kopach, and I'm a Christian food and body image coach. I spent most of my life hating my body and feeling frustrated with food. Then God stepped in and showed me something so supernatural in His Word, it transformed my life forever. Now I have peace around food and feel comfortable in my body. I am teaching female followers of Christ all over the world how to find this exact same food freedom through a deeper faith in Jesus. Join me in fellowship here every week as I discuss biblical scriptures directed towards how to treat and love our own bodies, as well as share personal struggles and thoughts around food and body image and the role God plays in both. I also talk with other women of faith who share their personal stories and wisdom around God's grace in putting a final end to their own food and body image drama. This episode is brought to you by my free 7-day devotional, 7 Steps to Food Freedom Through Faith. If you're ready for some answered prayers around your food struggles and body image issues and want to start living abundantly in the life God has waiting for you, where you are truly free from binging, food restricting, and yo-yo dieting, get my free 7-day devotional, 7 Steps to Food Freedom Through Faith. Go to CourtneyKopach.com/sign-up for free devotional. That's CourtneyKopach.com/sign-up for free devotional. And now let's get to the podcast. I just want to welcome you for today's podcast. I just want to say that you are in the right place right now. I feel like that's where I need to start this podcast off with today. If you're listening to this, it's not by mistake. It's not random. This was part of God's plan for your day, and you listened to God. You heard Him whisper something in your ear that said, you got to turn on Courtney's podcast. And I'm just so blessed and thrilled for what you're going to get out of today's lesson, because I know that what I'm talking about is something so relatable for so many of us out there. So I'm just going to get straight to it. Sometimes I like to use scripture when I'm doing my podcast, and then sometimes I don't. My only hesitation with using scripture is that I know I've got people who listen to this podcast that aren't super familiar with scripture, and I don't want to like turn them away from it. But on the other hand, scripture is so important for us as Christians. And while it may not necessarily speak to you every single time you read it, you will find that there's going to be scriptures that where once you never even like caught anything from it, you read it again and you're just totally moved by it. And I hope that that's what happens today, because I do have a chunk of scripture here that I'm just going to be sort of basing today's podcast off of. And it's in 1 Peter 2:9. Says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people precious to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. And then it goes on in verse 10, once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. So I'm just going to break this bad boy down, because there is like so much going on in here. I'm just thinking for a minute how I want to start this. I don't feel like a chosen person. I think it's so interesting that Peter starts right off and he's like, but you're a chosen people. And I'm like, yeah, I've heard that, but it doesn't feel like it. It doesn't feel like it a lot of the times. Being chosen by God is very different from being chosen by the world. And in fact, we don't want to be chosen by the world. The sinful nature in us, which is to say like the worldly nature in us that craves self-servitude, right? That craves a lot of attention and a lot of love and a lot of, you know, I always say I'm somebody who needs a lot of praise. Personally, I need to hear I'm doing a good job, and I need to hear it probably a lot more than like what's even normal, because I'm just somebody who thinks I'm never doing a good enough job. I relate this honestly to the fact that I grew up without a father.
My parents got divorced when I was three. My dad was an alcoholic, and I love my father very much. I don't have really much of a relationship with him, but I do, you know, he's my dad. Of course, I have a connection to him, and I have love for him. And my point in saying that is that that's also why I felt such a huge hole growing up. I never had a male to tell me what a good job I was doing. And even though I never got that message from a man, it still sort of resonates with just people in general now. I just need to hear from everybody that I'm doing a good job. So if you can relate to that, super awesome. I love it because it helps make me feel a lot less lonely and ridiculous for all my neediness. So yeah, I just don't really feel chosen. And I think that that's one of the things that drew me so much to weight loss in the beginning and drew me to the world of dieting was that I didn't feel chosen and I wanted to feel chosen. And I really mixed up being chosen by the world and being chosen by God. And this is the difference, okay, in case you get confused, because it's so easy to confuse the two. Like, I mean, I can still confuse the two, you know, any moment of the day. So let's just get clear really quickly on what these two differences are. Being chosen by the world means changing yourself in order to meet whatever the popular standard is of the moment. Being chosen by God is to not have to do a dang thing. You ain't got to do a dang thing in order to be chosen by God other than love him. That's it. Trust in Jesus and you've got the ticket to being chosen. Here's what comes with that. Peter reminds us that we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people precious to God. All right, we know that when we die, we're going to be receiving like the royalness, right? We know that we belong to a kingdom and we'll receive that kingdom when we die. We have that kingdom living inside of us right now, but it's much harder to tap into. It's much, much harder to tap into. God's special possession, chosen people, royal priesthood, a holy nation. It's hard to understand what a holy nation is. I don't really feel very holy. I know that I am, but I don't feel it. There's so much that God tells us about ourselves that we don't feel. The world lets us know on a continual basis. It's like, if you don't feel it, it's not real. If you don't feel it, you can't trust it. If you don't feel it, you can't believe it. If you don't feel thin, then you're not thin. If you don't feel confident, then you don't have any self-confidence. If you don't feel beautiful, then you must not be beautiful. Those are all things from the world. God is like, no, you are all these things that I'm telling you, whether you feel it or not. Like that's love, right? That is a lot of what love is. There are so many realms to love that we don't necessarily see and that we definitely don't feel. But it doesn't mean that it's not existing there for us. And this is especially true if it comes from God. And the same is with his mercy. I think that a lot of you out there do not really know what it feels like to feel God's mercy on a continual basis, every single day, in every moment. And guess what? That is no surprise. That is no big deal. Because I don't think that that's how God works, right? Then where is the faith needed? If we always just, oh, I feel God's mercy on me today. in everything. If it were those constant like God highs that we get, you know, those moments where you're just like, boom, it explodes. And you have this moment of clarity and this moment of peace and this moment of joy. And it literally lasts like a half a second. Maybe it'll last an hour, right? For some of us, we can have special days, but it's not usually something that lasts for an entire week. Those are very special aha moments that we get. And most of the time, we're just sort of living, hanging on by a thread. And this is part of God's plan, because everything that we go through that's difficult is meant to glorify God. The reason he refines us is for his glory. And how it glorifies him is because we grow closer to him through our hardships. We trust him more through the difficult times. I don't have to say too much on this. We all know this as believers. We need to be reminded of it for sure. I think like every day we need to be reminded of it, but we do get that part at least, right? What we don't get so well is that we don't believe that God is working. We don't believe that we're getting the grace. We don't believe that we're getting the mercy unless we feel it. And our God is a God that is greater than just feeling. So much of what he requires from us has to come just because we love him and not necessarily because we, quote, feel what he is telling us about him. We have to just believe it without necessarily experiencing it right away. This is what strengthens us. This is what requires us to get outside of our self-servitude and put our focus on our love for God, right? Like the first commandment is that thou shalt not have any other gods before me. And the second commandment is thou shalt not have any idols other than me. Those are the two main things that God says, boom, right away. And though we live by the New Testament, we live by Jesus and not by the laws, Jesus says the same thing. You know, like, you're not going to feel all the time the things that God is working through your life, especially if you're not even focusing on him. If your focus is on yourself, it's really difficult to have that relationship with God. If you're always taking yourself out to dinner and having drinks by yourself, you're never going to get a best friend. You're never going to get a partner because you're spending all your time with yourself. You're worshiping yourself, right? Well, the same goes with like having a relationship with God. If 90% of your time is spent thinking about your problems, your day, what your body looks like, what you ate this morning, how much you exercised. Will you or will you not eat some laxatives today? Are you going to throw up? Are you going to skip dinner? Are you going to have the pizza when you go out? Maybe you should not have the beer and go with wine instead because it has less calories, even though you really want the beer. If these are the thoughts that are continually going through your mind 90 to 100% of your day, where is the room for your relationship with God? And if there's not room for your relationship with God, then where are you supposed to be feeling these mercies? Because here's what God tells us. Not only are we chosen, even though you may not feel like it, you are chosen. God has said that. So it is true because God is not a liar. If you don't feel chosen, you have to at least know that you are. You've got to separate knowing and feeling. And this is the other thing about the world. The spiritual realm is so much about feelings. Yes, it is. But it's also based off of truth. And truth is knowledge, and knowledge is knowing. Does that make sense? The world is much more about lies, and lies are emotional, and lies are about feeling, protecting our feelings, making sure that we feel good about ourselves. The world is a very feeling and therefore very fearful place. The spiritual realm is based off of truth, and truth is light, and light is love. And we know that the opposite of fear is love. Because when you're doing something that is lovely, it's very hard to have fear ruin that beauty. You can step out in fear. You can step out and do things even though you're afraid. But it's the love that's guiding you to do that. That is the stronger power. That is the strength of your ability to take a leap of faith, is the love, your love for Jesus, your love for the truth, your love for the light, your love for the spiritual realm. It says that God called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. I want you to think about this for a minute, because where is your darkness? It's your food. It's your body image. It's the way you're treating yourself. It's the way you see yourself. You're disgusted with it all. You are living in darkness. God has taken you out of there. It doesn't say God's going to take you out of there. It doesn't say 5 years from now, God's going to take you out. It says, I got to find my place here. Who called you out of darkness? You already are out. Yes, you are still living amongst it. You are living amongst the darkness. But God called you out of it the moment that you accepted Jesus. You were called out. You were given truth. You were given light. You were given a plan, basically, of how to live the rest of your life. For those of you that are walking around confused about how you're supposed to be living your life, not sure you're doing God's will, I have to say, then you need to go back into the Bible and take a look at what it says in there, because God's plan for you is pretty clear. And that is to just follow him and let him do the rest. We confuse it. We darken it with our fear, with our worldliness. Totally natural. God expects it. We're broken people. We're messed up. Everybody is messed up. It's just a question of what are you doing about it? How are you letting God work in your brokenness? And you listening to this podcast, you may have a million other things about you that make you screwy. I know I do. And this is one of the things that you need to be aware of. If you're holding on to your food right now, if you're holding on to your body image issue because you're scared of what's going to happen if you don't have it, I promise you, there are other parts of yourself that will replace it. There are other broken areas in your life that need redeeming. You're not a perfect person outside of this food insanity. And maybe that scares you a little bit. But that's where the mercy comes in. Because you keep making the same mistakes over and over and over again. Every morning you wake up and you hope with all your might that today is going to be the day that you are changed. The problem is you're expecting to feel it. And that is not necessarily what mercy is. Mercy is God changing you despite the fact that you don't feel yourself being changed in that moment. I'm going to say that again. Mercy is God changing you despite the fact that you don't feel yourself being changed in that moment. Where are you trusting God? When you wake up, and by breakfast, you've already eaten 50 burritos. I don't know if you can eat 50 burritos, but maybe some of you can. I've eaten my share of apple pies in my binging days. Let me tell you, people, I'm not going to share the number, but it's kind of embarrassing. So there might be someone out there who is totally capable of downing 50 burritos and doing it all by breakfast time. And I have to say, if you can relate to that and you feel like a failure and you feel miserable about yourself and you feel disturbed and disgusted and disappointed and just like there is no hope, you feel that way because you are not trusting that God is working in that moment, because you are expecting your works to solve the problem instead of your faith. You are expecting your works to solve the problem instead of your faith. Do you understand what that means? I'm going to tell you, because you need to get this. Your works, are you making the quote unquote right choice, the quote unquote good choice about your food? Those are your works. Those are you eating in your mind scrambled egg whites with a side of spinach and some salmon instead of 50 burritos for breakfast. That's what's in your mind. Those are your works. Okay? Faith is you downing 50 burritos and still knowing that you are chosen by God. Do you know how amazing that is? It's downing 50 burritos and knowing that you are still God's special possession. It's downing 50 burritos and knowing that you are valuable, fearfully and wonderfully made by the Creator of all things. You were chosen before you even came into existence to be part of God's kingdom. That is mind-blowing. And yet, you treat yourself like a piece of garbage because you don't feel the mercy in the moment. You, therefore, don't have faith in your God. I'm reminding you today to be a follower of Jesus is to follow him not only when we're feeling the mercy and the grace, but even in the times when we believe we have been abandoned. Yes, it says in the Bible that God never abandons us, but I know that you still feel abandoned, because you're still broken. You're still broken because you're still trying to solve the problem. And you're not giving it over to God in faith. I need to explain to you exactly what that looks like, because I can use this Christian, what do they call it? Christianese, the language of Christianese. I can use these Christian words. I can use scripture. I can sound big and important and like I really know what I'm talking about. But if you don't understand what I'm saying to you, it doesn't make a lick of difference. So I want to explain. This is what faith around the Lord concerning your food issues, which really just translates into your body shame, okay? Because I also want to make it clear. I've said this before. I'm going to say it a million times over. You don't have a food, quote unquote, issue. You have a self-esteem issue. That's what it is. You're just using food to fill the void of the low self-image, of the belief that you are not lovable, of the belief that you are not chosen. Altering the mindset from believing that we are not chosen by the world to believing that we are chosen by God is a huge leap forward in getting out of this food and body image rut that you are in. This is what it takes. building your self-worth through Jesus Christ. Getting your eyes off of what the stinking world keeps telling you you need to be like and putting them back on a God who loves you. And it's hard because when you feel unlovable and you feel unchosen, the last thing you want to do is look for help from the one who you know loves you no matter what. And I'm getting emotional about this right now because this has just played such a big part in my own healing, and not just from the food and the body image is like only the tip of the iceberg. It's almost like, you know, everybody gets handed what their crap is going to be in life. This is what your struggle is. This is what you have to get over. The thin person, okay, maybe she's not dealing with being fat, but she's still got other issues. We all have our garbage that we need to get taken out. Yours is fat shame. You feel ashamed of being fat. You fear being fat. And then you feel ashamed of fearing being fat. It's so hard to bow down and just say, I don't got this. I don't have this at all. I am messing this up. And the harder part is to say that and then humbly hand it over to God. Because we can be at the end of our ropes and still trying to do it our way. So that's how I'm going to describe to you right now what really faithfully following Jesus out of this food image, body image trap that you're living in, what that really looks like. This is the biggest lesson that I learned while on my road to recovery from my disordered eating and my ridiculous obsession with what I looked like and how flat my stomach was this. Doing things despite the fact that I didn't feel chosen. Doing things despite the fact that I didn't feel loved. Doing things despite the fact that I didn't feel valuable. Making bad choices and sitting with those bad choices without judgment, without shame, without guilt, without self-pity. I can't begin to tell you how freeing it is when you start actually living your life like this. That is grace, man, right there. That is what grace and mercy is. When you can go and eat 2 apple pies and a gallon of ice cream and sit back and say, well, that just happened. I got to move on. Life keeps going. Oh, well. Not, I'm horrible. I'm disgusting. I'm fat. I'm going to start over tomorrow. Tomorrow's my new day. God does not look at us like that. And we need to start looking at ourselves the way that God looks at us. God does not look at you when you've eaten 3 pies and a gallon of ice cream and think, well, I'm disgusted with you today. That's it. The day's done. I'm done with you. I'll see you tomorrow. We'll start fresh then. He doesn't dislike you. He doesn't unlove you. He doesn't unfollow you because you've made this choice. He may not think it was a good choice. He may not be happy with the choice, but he is always loving to the person who made it. And that's how you have to start looking at the way you're making your choices. That's how you have to start looking at your body. You may not love the fact that you ate a roll of laxatives for the second time in the day. You may not love that choice, but you can still love yourself. Because this is the thing about mercy. You're always going to be making bad choices. It's loving yourself, accepting yourself despite those choices. Not because necessarily you can do it yourself, but because God does it for you. And if God can love you, then you can love yourself. If God can love you despite the choice, you can love yourself despite the choice. But what you're so like, what's the word I'm looking for? Wired. You're so wired to do is to have this other response, this response of feelings. I feel fat. I feel gross. Some of you don't even know what you feel anymore. You're just numb to it. Numbness is still a feeling. It's acceptance. It's mercy. It's having faith that you are still chosen. You are still God's possession. Chosen possession. You are still valuable. And you can never lose that value, no matter what choices you make in God's eyes. Because he gives you his mercy. And how dare you challenge him simply because your humanness, your self-centeredness isn't getting that need met, a feeling. I have to feel the mercy. When you make the choice to eat the three pies, I challenge you, or whatever it is you're going to eat or not eat, whatever it is about how you are abusing food. And I don't want you to feel judgment about yourself. I know I just said abusing and automatically, oh God, I'm abusing food. I'm such a piece of crap. These are the thoughts that start coming to our head. You've got to get out of this wired thought pattern, which is completely caused by years of dieting and living in the world, sadly. And newsflash, you're not getting out of the world anytime soon. So you have to start figuring out how to live amongst it with these signs still being plastered all over the place. I think some of you are waiting to just have this dieting life just disappear, to just wake up and feel completely in love with yourself, to just wake up and be okay. It doesn't work that way. God, sometimes he gives you what you want right when you ask for it, but very rarely. And I think that it's not a good idea to sit there and just wait with your hand out and a cheeseburger in the other one. I spent years doing that. I'm going to eat this cheeseburger while I have my hand out waiting for you to just heal me, God. We all cry, oh, I want to be healed. I want to be fixed. I want to get out of these food issues. But what are you doing? What are you honestly doing outside of trying another diet? I'll tell you what you're doing. You're relying on yourself. You don't want God's help. You think you do. You say you do, but you have no idea how to go and get it. And I'm not trying to make anybody feel like, you know, some of you might be like, well, wait a minute. I really do want God's help. I think I'm just sort of like speaking out loud on the way you know, from my personal experience, I really felt like I wanted God's help, but I didn't want it enough to do what it really took for me to do it. That was number one. Number two, I didn't have the guidance at the time. There is a sense of guidance. You know, when we go to church, we read the Bible, but we go to church to have the Bible explained to us. We go to church to have fellowship and to have people help us understand more what God is trying to say to us. And the same goes for healing out, healing yourself from the body shame, from the fear of fat, from the fear of getting fat, which is really just a fear of not being accepted, not being loved because you don't feel chosen. You need some guidance around it. It's one of the reasons why I really wanted to start this podcast. It was why God was like, this is what you have to do, Courtney. Because no one explained it to me, and I wasted a lot of time. God did not just come down with the Ten Commandments of how to stop being a dieter and love yourself again. It wasn't like that easy. It took a lot of trial and error. And I don't have a list of 10 commandments for you either, but I have personal experience. And so that's what I'm trying to share with you. And you have to get on the same page with God if you really want to break free from this. And that means viewing yourself as God views you. And that also means being willing to follow him, even though you don't feel like it. Even though you don't feel like you're seeing change, feel like you're seeing results. God is always working on you. He doesn't put you down for a second and then go pick up another project and say, oh, I'll come back to you, Janet. No, he has you in the palm of his hand. Every breath you take is divinely given to you by the Lord. So if it comes straight down to just the fact that you're still breathing, that is reliant upon God, then believe me when I say he is working on the problems that you have with food and your body image in you right now. But you have to have faith without feeling it. You have to get beyond that need for self-servitude and your ego and say, I may not feel chosen, but I know that I am, and I'm going to treat myself like it. Now, this is where it gets tricky, because treating yourself like it does not mean that now you don't make any bad choices, that now you are perfect with your food. That is not going to happen. And this is why so many people that I work with say to me, I woke up years, every day of my life thinking that this was going to be the day I was going to finally get it all right, and it never would be. And I just got so broken down from it. I'm telling you, it's okay to stop beating yourself up, because guess what? Life is full of bad choices. I said it before, I'm going to say it again. You're going to make bad choices. You're going to make more bad choices than you are good ones. That is a fact of life. But you have God's mercy. That's part of your plan. That's part of your journey. Are the bad choices? Eating the cookie when you swore you wouldn't eat the cookie. Drinking the Diet Coke when you promised yourself you were going to give up Diet Coke. Having the pasta when you swore off carbs. And wondering, why do I keep making these choices? How come I can't get it right? Because you're trying to do something that is impossible. And not part of God's plan for your life. And if it's not part of God's plan for your life, it's never going to work. And anything you do that is by your own works, that does not include you just following God, is not going to come to any good fruition. Because God likes to be a part of your life. He likes to be number one. He's not going to let you think for a moment that you did it by yourself. Because you didn't. And you're not. You were called out of darkness into his wonderful light. I talked about spiritual gifts in the intro to this episode, and I want to mention what that means in terms of living obsessed with food, obsessed with your body, aka in darkness. God called you out of the darkness, but the darkness still calls to you. You have light living inside you, but there's also darkness. Here's what the darkness does in terms of living your life as a dieter. It takes away your spiritual gifts. It takes away a lot more than that. But this is a huge thing, because so many of us start off dieting with the hopes of building our self-esteem. And really, all we end up doing is breaking ourselves down even more and more and more and more, to the point where we don't know who we are anymore outside of dieting. Everything falls by the wayside when we are on a diet. And the diet becomes our center, our world. That's it. I'm on a diet. I can't do anything else. Focus to get this right. Got to lose these pounds. I need to please this person, please that person, please myself, please my daughter, please my mother, please my family members, please my coworkers, please my boss. I'm on a diet. We fool ourselves into believing that we're pleasing ourselves, believing that this is what we really want for ourselves, but we don't take the time to look at what it does to us. It breaks us down and it disconnects us from our spiritual gifts. And everybody has a spiritual gift. It doesn't have to be something major. You don't have to be an Oscar-winning actress or you've got no gift at all. There's the gift of service. You know, somebody who just cleans floors for a living, that is a gift of service, a service to God, right? Do all things to the glory of God. We are commanded by Him to do everything that we do to His glory. So therefore, we do have spiritual gifts and we're supposed to use those gifts to His glory. But when you are on a diet, all you are focused is on yourself. You don't give yourself opportunities to really use your gifts in a self-supportive way that nurtures the self, that builds the self up. Because when you're using your spiritual gifts, it doesn't have anything to do with the self. There are always spiritual gifts of giving. Giving yourself to another. Maybe your spiritual gift is motherhood. Maybe your spiritual gift is teaching. It could be artistry. It could be painting. It could be doing someone's makeup, doing someone's hair. It could be raking leaves, you know, doing yard work. I mean, it could be a million different things. But if you're dieting, that's all you can literally handle doing. I've worked with people before, so obsessed with how they look, what they're eating, what they weigh. They're so disconnected from their families. Mothers not even knowing what their kids are talking to them about because all they're doing is thinking about food. Not even hearing their children sharing stories, sharing what happened throughout the day. Because in the back of their mind, it's just food, 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 food. Fat, 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 fat. Body shame, body shame, body shame, body shame. It's like a heartbeat that just keeps going. It's moving you along. It becomes the blood in your body. It becomes your life force. It's your system. It's everything. You don't know what your husband said to you 5 minutes ago as you were cooking dinner because you were thinking about whether or not you were even going to eat dinner. Did you deserve dinner? What'd you have for lunch? Did you exercise today? How are you sharing your spiritual gifts when all of your time and energy is being consumed by this obsession? It's impossible. You can't give to yourself and give to yourself and give to yourself and give to yourself and give to yourself. Empty, I'll say like calories here. You're not nourishing yourself. You're just feeding yourself emptiness. You're filling yourself up on nothing. Because at the end of the day, you're also still doing the exact same behavior you did last week and the week before and the week before that and the year before that and the decade before that. All the way back to when you first started dieting, not much has really changed, except for maybe your weight. But the obsession is still there. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Be aware of what the devil is taking away from you through your obsession. And get angry about that. Be mad. Be more than mad. Be furious. Because through dieting, through body shame and food craziness, the devil is taking away your life. And you're not able to even feel like you have a life anymore. Because you really don't. If I were to assign you homework this week, I want you to be prepared to make choices that you told yourself you weren't going to make. Maybe you even promised yourself, I'm not going to do that again today. Tomorrow, I swear, new day, it's not going to happen. You know, my old coach, health coach, Isabel Fox and Duke, who I always exclaim about, she did a blog called, you know, what if, something around the lines of like, what if there was no wagon to fall off of? Have you ever thought that you're riding on an imaginary wagon? Like you have this, you know, the dieting wagon. Right? And we make choices that we feel are not in line with the diet, are not in line with the food plan, are not in line with getting thin, staying thin, looking good, whatever. And we say, oh, I fell off the wagon. Whoever told you there was a wagon? Where's this wagon coming from? You're the one making up the wagon. You're getting yourself upset over decisions that you're making. But you're also the one that's telling yourself that those decisions are bad. Who told you those decisions are bad? And then that rebellious side comes in. And it's like, well, I've already had one cookie. Let me just finish the whole box. It's a pattern here. And it's not by surprise that this is happening. What would happen if having that first cookie wasn't such a big deal? You might not feel the need to go and have eight more. What would happen if having eight cookies wasn't such a big deal? You might not have the problem of going and having the entire box. What would happen if you ate the entire box and you just said, well, that was a choice I made. That's where One choice led to another choice that led to another choice, and I'm seeing a pattern here, but I'm not judging myself around that pattern. It's just I'm noticing that this was the response. A happened, B followed, then C came after that. You have to start looking at these things more scientifically, more pragmatically, and less emotionally involved. You have to start looking at them like God does. You can't beat yourself up every time you fall off the wagon if there's no wagon to begin with. We keep feeling like restriction is the way to our healing. I have to just stop from doing this. Let me tell you, sweetheart, if that worked, you would have already done it by now. You hate yourself because you can't stop, and then you keep doing it more and more and more. How about trying for once being okay for a little while? Making the wrong choices, making the bad choices, falling off the wagon. Accepting it. Just accepting it. Not saying, oh yeah, this is great. I just ate 4 gallons of Chunky Monkey over here. Woohoo! I'm not saying say that, but accepting it if and when it does happen, and then moving on. Catching yourself in those moments that say, the dieting mentality that comes in and says, you've got to start fresh tomorrow, and saying, I don't have to start fresh tomorrow. I don't have to start fresh at all. This is life. Life is messy. I ate this ice cream. Oh, well, moving on. All that happened is I'm really full. I'm uncomfortable. Okay, it'll pass in a few hours. Or maybe you didn't make your gym session and you're beating yourself up over it because you felt so fat for the past few days. Instead of being like, oh my God, tomorrow I have to go to the gym for an extra like 5 hours. You could say to yourself, oh well, it's not going to kill me. It's just a gym session. If I feel like going an extra half an hour tomorrow, maybe I will. But I'm not going to do it unless I feel like it. I'm not going to do it unless it's because I really want to do it because it feels good. Not because I feel like I have to do it. Not because I feel like I should. It's not that big of a deal. I say that all the time to my clients. Not because I want to make what you guys are going through a small thing, because it is no small thing. It is a very big deal. The emotionalness of it all. The trauma, okay? I know sometimes it's like we don't even want to think about our food issues. It's like traumatic because everybody's dieting out there. Well, everybody's got some trauma around their body then. Because dieting causes trauma. The longer you do it, the more you try to do it. You become more and more obsessed with looking the way you feel you're supposed to look with every diet you do. That is not how you heal. Accepting yourself. God loves you and accepts you just as you are. You are chosen just as you are. 5 whoopie pies in and you are still chosen. But don't hate yourself because you've had the 5 whoopie pies. Remind yourself that you have God's mercy. The other homework that I want you guys to do this week, and of course, I'm not going to be like checking up on this at all. This is just you holding yourself accountable. Think about what your spiritual gifts are. Write down a few of them. 3, 4, 2, 1, whatever. Find a way to use them this week, every single day. This is going to help get you out of yourself. It's going to help remind you that there is life beyond this obsession, and it's going to force you to find it. And it's important to do things for others because that is really where the self-esteem comes from. It's not from doing things for yourself. And I don't mean that in the self-care term, okay? I'm not talking about taking a nice bubble bath or drinking some wine. on a starry night with your husband or something. I'm not talking about that kind of like doing things for yourself. I'm talking about doing things from yourself that come from a very self-centered, ego, pride-filled way, which is what dieting is all about. You got to get out of that. You got to do things for other people and see what that does for your self-esteem. So that's pretty much what I want you guys to work on this week. And no matter what, if you have to say it 50 times over, in the midst of your binge, in the midst of your frustration, in the midst of your hating your body, in the midst of you catching a glimpse of yourself in the mirror and just finding total disgustedness, I want you to say, I am chosen. You may not feel it. I don't feel it that much. I have some days where I do, but I feel unchosen most of the time. But I still make choices based off of knowing that I am chosen. I know that I am chosen. I don't always feel it, but I know it because the Bible tells me so. And the Bible tells you the same thing. So speak it out loud and see what that does for you for a moment, because you will feel when you say, I am chosen, you're going to have a whole wave of different emotions coming around. And it'll be interesting to see which one stands out the most for you. Try to figure that out. That's basically it. That is today's podcast. I am like really hoping that this one spoke to you guys, because, you know, with each one of these that I do, it's, we're going to be getting further and further into how to get you guys out of this. And you know, you can always shoot me an email if you have questions, make a prayer call with me, please. I've had a few ladies do that this past week and it was such a wonderful bonding experience. You can go to my website, CourtneyKopach.com, and you'll see prayer call up there. Just click on it and you can schedule a prayer call with me. It's totally free. I will pray for you. Specifically about what some of these problems are that you're going through. And that's super powerful. Prayer is so powerful in our healing. So I really encourage you to do that. Also encourage you to join my Facebook group full of other supportive women. It's Christian Women's Food Freedom Through Faith on Facebook. And you can also sign up to get my newsletter, which is full every week of just sort of fresh insight and support for you. Again, just go to CourtneyKopach.com and you can sign up right there for my newsletter to get something to your inbox. I also have a free giveaway on there, 7 Steps to Food Freedom Through Faith, which I've mentioned before. But, you know, you need support through this and I'm offering it. So please, I've got a lot of free things that I'm giving to you. Take me up on it, man. Do it, because that's what it's there for. I just want to pray right now. While we end this episode, Lord, we are your chosen people. You've pulled us up out of darkness and you have given us your mercy. We pray that you give us the spiritual, supernatural abilities to follow you, even though and even when we do not feel any of those things. We are broken messes, God, that need a lot of healing. We need a lot of reassurance that we're loved. A lot of reassurance that we're doing okay. A lot of reassurance that you're with us, that you're there. That though, like myself, who didn't have a dad growing up, I do have a Father in heaven who's with me every single step of the way, guiding me. And I pray for these women, Lord, that they would feel that same guidance from you. Lift them up, Lord. Put them under your wing and strengthen them this week and help them to recognize the moments where your mercy is coming through. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
much for tuning in to Feed Your Faith. I had so much fun with you today, and I really hope that you got something out of the podcast. Please do not forget to subscribe to the podcast. That way you will never miss an episode. And also, if you're interested, I run an amazing Facebook group, Christian Women's Food Freedom Through Faith. Go to Facebook and just put in, you know, Facebook/Courtney Kopek, and you will come across it. Definitely check that out. And don't forget to sign up for my free 7-day devotional, 7 Steps to Food Freedom Through Faith, that you can get over at my website, www.courtneykopek.com. Have a blessed day.